think we had set the goal a while ago that when we hit 50 patrons that we would do like a special episode thing. I feel like I set that as one of our goals.
I've been coming up with ideas for more for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I feel like, you know,
monthly free things.
And speaking about the turn of the month, we need to put out a Cauldron Side Chat.
Oh my God, you're right.
Yeah.
How did that totally escape me?
I feel like I don't know. I've been super busy, or like I've been personally going through burnout. Dude, hence this 3-day weekend, like last minute, I like sprung it on my boss, like I think on Wednesday. And I'm like, hey, I have like a floating holiday. Could I cash that in for Monday, please? And he's like, yeah, like it's just perfect timing because I just wrapped up catalog. So a lot of my big projects wrapped up and we just finished onboarding our latest new hire. Mm-hmm. So, and it was kind of brought on because Gavin just, you know, got a 3-day weekend too. Although his was Sunday through Tuesday, but still, like, we seldom get 2 days off in a row together. So it's been really nice, and it's just been extra time to recharge.
Dude, it's so needed.
Yeah.
I mean, truly, that's one thing I want to be like, hey, to my boss, because they always ask, you know, like, what incentives can we give you guys since, like, we can't participate in what everyone else does?
Yeah.
More floating holidays for just, like, mental health days.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Like, yeah.
I mean, every job should have that, but, like, when you talk to, like, I don't know, 30, 40 plus people a day, why not?
Oh, my gosh. That'd
be cool.
Laura, I don't know how you do it. That sounds so draining.
Especially with our people that call in. Mm-hmm. Some are lovely. Some are fantastic.
Sure.
And some of them, I'm like, what is, what?
I used to work customer service and I don't know, man. I'm just saying I get it. People be wild. Yeah. There was this one guy, I remember, that called me like a liar and had this whole like conspiracy theory. I'm like, sir, you're giving me far too much credit. Oh man.
So some of them really like just when they ask for things and this PSA for anyone who needs to call customer service, no matter how mad you are, if they say they can't do something, there's a legitimate reason why they can't. Either their software will not allow them to. Mm-hmm. The higher ups, not even their boss or manager, but beyond them, will not allow it to happen. Or three, maybe you've called to complain about something before in a way that was really rude and you've been like, you got
flagged.
Yes. They've said, we already did something for them, can't do it again.
Yeah.
Probably not you guys, but like.
Well, then you get those people who really try to abuse the system where like made an exception for them. The you know, one time, and then they keep coming. Usually most people would be like, thank you so much, and they don't abuse it, but you get those people who do, and then they call back trying to have you like force you to make that magic happen again for them.
Yep.
Like just and shameless.
I will say I am the one. I take full credit. I found that in this position. I had one person where I was like, are you kidding me? Like, how did no one else catch this?
Mm-hmm.
Reported it to a higher up. They're like, okay, cool, so let's now make sure that we like start a new like internal thing. So we flag people left and right now for abusing the system.
Nice. So, yeah,
just know we have that. We know when we know if you call back hoping to get a different person, we take notes. It's recorded, we know.
Oh man.
And we talk about it.
Yeah, be nice. Just be nice. Be kind, everyone.
Yeah.
Gotta be kind.
For real. Especially customers. Like, we want to help. We don't want anyone to be upset. We want everyone to be happy.
Right.
We don't want you to call with any issues. If you have an issue, for the love of God, we really want to take care of it as best as we can. If we can't do something, it's not us. I promise.
Yeah.
It's not. So.
Oh man, so I mean, I feel like, you know, this past like year has flown by so fast, because I'm thinking in a month we have our second anniversary. Right? I feel like we just did that like special episode that we did for the first anniversary, and we're already at the second in just a month from now. That's wild,
right? Which, speaking of, I'm gonna add to my like little list here, like a decent webcam.
Ooh.
So we can maybe do like another video, but it being like
an OnlyFans,
pristine.
Just kidding, JK, we're not doing that for you guys.
We're starting a rock band and an OnlyFans.
You should be so lucky.
I mean, hey, these days it could just pure feet content.
Yeah. And you know what? I'll even include Fitz's feet. I hope you don't find them sexual, but they are damn cute. They are so fuzzy.
There are going
to
be people.
There are going to be people. But speaking of feet, I'm sorry to do that segue, because my cat is on his perch right next to me, and he just has the most adorable stinking feet, like his little paws.
Yeah.
They're so furry that he has like tufts of fur coming out from between his paws, and I could die. Like, I feel like that girl from Despicable Me where it's like, it's so fluffy, I'm going to die. That's how I feel when I see
them. I was going to say, you actually sound like Jess. In the last season, when she's like,
Mario. Trying to adopt the dog, or like when she's I forget what season it was, when she's doing the we're talking about New Girl for those who don't know, Jessica Day, but when she's doing the interview and she like has her period or something, and she's like, is that your dog? And like, it's like
in a teacup.
It's in a teacup. And then the interviewer's like, yeah, he was great. Was? She just totally breaks down. Oh man. Yeah, it's insane. It's so funny because like I remember I used to date a guy back in the day that I stopped dating him because I thought he was far too into his cat.
And now you get it?
And now I get it, because me and Gavin, we will look at him, at Fitz, and then we'll look at each other. And we'll, just yesterday we said, oh, like, I know that every, like, parent or fur parent says this about their fur baby, that they're, like, perfect, but ours is actually perfect.
That's, yeah, it's a total parenting. Yeah. We say that about our dogs. Not so much Graham. He's too realistic. I say it all the time. I'll be like, our dogs are perfect. They're assholes and they could be better trained, but they're perfect.
Yeah, we'll be like, Fitz will just lay there. And Gavin will be like, oh my God, look at him. Don't miss this. Look at him. And he's like literally just like sleeping.
The amount of pictures I sent Graham of like, look at your baby. And he'll heart it, but that's it. Because I'm just, their animals are precious.
They're so precious.
They're so cute.
Yeah.
And they deserve all that love. They deserve for us to be fawning over them.
Absolutely. And like, I just, you know, I'm very interested to see once we burst Fitz's bubble and he's no longer an only child. And when we get that dog, I just hope to God that he gets along with his sibling, but it's going to be an adjustment, because right now the sun rises and sets with Fitz.
Yeah. You know, man. I would think so. I mean, because you're going to get the dog as a puppy.
Yeah. So actually, Fitz has a history of getting along with dogs, which is why we.
Right.
That was one of our, not like deal breakers, but a strong like preference when we were adopting, right, was to get a cat that had a good history with dogs.
Right.
Because we knew we wanted one eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
But anywho,
you'll probably be fine.
Enough about our fur babies. Everyone's like, oh my God, like skip 30 seconds. Do you ever have that where like an ad comes up and you like hit 30 seconds and I'm like, wow, they're still reading about, like, they're still talking about this ad, or they're still talking about HelloFresh. It's been a minute and a half. another podcast. But yeah.
Yeah.
We love our fur babies. Get over it. But we should get into the episode. Before we do, though, just double checking. Do we have any Patreon shout outs? I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think we got them all last time. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, I'm really excited about.
Oh my God.
Oh, what?
I was looking through. We got an email from someone asking if we were interested in OnlyFans. So.
Really?
Yeah. For podcasting. And I actually have.
I didn't even know that
you. I forgot to plug my laptop in.
I didn't even know that. That like podcasts were on OnlyFans. I mean, why not? But.
Yes. I mean, I know cosplayers are that like yeah. don't do sexual things.
But. It doesn't have to be sexual, I guess.
You guys want some sexy tarot cards?
Oh my God. That would be pretty cool though if we like got. A tarot deck that was, I don't know, had some like scantily clad people on it. And we did an OnlyFans stream of like tarot reads. I think that would be pretty cool. Tell us no. Oh my God. Let us know if you're into that. I literally pronounced let's backwards. Tell us no. Let us know. Do you see what I'm talking about with burnout? I needed this break. Apparently I need more of a break, but I'm excited for this topic because I feel like we've definitely touched on it, but we haven't, I think, shed such a spotlight on it. Like we've gone over different deities, but not so much what to do when you have a deity, when you know, in deity work. So I'm pretty stoked on this.
And so many people talk about it. So many people bring up that they work with them or had. So like, yeah, I think it was about time.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So you ready to get into it?
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Did you just burp?
Excuse me. I did.
That was a very graceful burp. If I do say so myself.
I am a lady sometimes, kind of.
Oh, man. Okay, so I'll get into, as we do, we love history here. So let's get into a little bit of history about deities. Or just, like, what is a deity?
Right.
It's so funny because I feel like when you start, like, a speech and, like, Webster's Dictionary defines love as blah, blah, this is where we're going. So the English language word deity... derives
clink, 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 clink.
Yeah, about to make a toast about deities. It derives from the old French deité, and also from isn't that like how it said?
I don't know what it is. I don't know why I find that funny.
I could try to say it in a French. I'm gonna like offend our French listeners, but deité. I have no idea, but
yeah,
and it's also from the which is from also the Latin. Deitatum. I never took like Latin.
It's a very ungraceful language.
Oh, gosh,
very, like,
yeah, it's so clunky. But that basically means divine nature. And deity was coined by Augustine of Hippo from Dios, which translated to God. So Dios is, and obviously you know, if you know Neo-Latin languages, that sounds pretty familiar, right? Right. And it's spelled in this particular instance, the word Dios by Augustine of Hippo is spelled D-E-U-S. That was his word for God. And it's related through a common Proto-Indian European origin to Deus. Mm-hmm. So this root yields the ancient Indian word diva, meaning to gleam, a shining one, from div, which is to shine, as well as Greek dios, which means divine, and Zeus, and Latin deus, I guess it would be like deus.
Yeah.
which then means like God. So it's kind of like a domino effect of all these different meanings of a divine being, pretty much. It kind of all of those different things, you know, to shine, to gleam, a shining one, divine nature, all of those things coming together to mean divine, like some, you know, divine being. That is where the word deity comes from. It's a big mixture. So there is no universally accepted consensus on what a deity is, though. And the concepts of deities vary considerably across cultures.
As they would.
As they would, right? Like, people from different areas will have different perspectives on things. Although so many of those cultures have created some sort of divine being to surround their religion around. But the use of the word has ranged from infinite, transcendent being who created and lords over the universe, which is kind of the Judeo-Christian God, right?
Capital G God.
Capital G. Capital H-I-M. to a finite entity or experience with special significance or which evokes a special feeling. So that would be like lowercase g God. There's also the concept of in religious or philosophical contexts that relates to nature or magnified beings or a supramundane realm to like numerous other usages. So it's kind of, they're all similar, but they're not all the same.
Yeah.
A deity is typically conceptualized as a supernatural or divine concept, manifesting in ideas, knowledge, in a form that combines excellence in some or all aspects, wrestling with weakness and questions in other aspects, heroic in outlook, yet tied up with emotions and desires. I mean, if you think of, gosh, just like Greek mythology, these were all kind of personifications of a particular element of nature. You know, in juxtaposition with the capital G God, the Judeo-Christian God, which is kind of like a perfect divine being, some other gods, lowercase gods, like the Greek pantheon, I mean, these guys were a little more human than capital G God. Like, they still made mistakes. They were emotional, irrational, learned lessons, went through their own journeys, you know, like, so I think that's kind of the best way to describe how deities can, so there's so much variability in what they are, but it pretty much is like, in the root of it, it's a concept of something that is outside or above the human experience. Even though they might be similar to humans, they are not of humans, if that makes sense. So in other cases, a deity can be a principle or reality, such as the idea of the soul. And theism, the belief in the existence of one or more deities, then there's polytheism. And it's the belief in and worship of those multiple deities, which are usually assembled in a pantheon of gods and goddesses, like the Greek pantheon, the Norse pantheon. There's even, you know, the Anglo-Saxon pantheon. There's a lot of like,
every culture, a lot of, you know, for the most
every
part.
Single cult, like, honestly, every pocket of the world has had its own pantheon. It's,
oh my God, Domino.
The thought I think of one deity to rule them all, to rule us all, is really much, much newer than we think.
Yeah.
Much longer has there been polytheism. And in most polytheistic religions, the different gods and goddesses are representations of forces of nature or ancestral principles, can be viewed either as autonomous or as aspects of a creator god, or they're maybe a little more transcendent. They're like an, they represent an absolute principle. I think almost kind of like when you think of the fates, So there's some that are, there's some gods that are a little more complex, others that are a little more like singular or one dimensional mm-hmm. as far as, you know, what they do and what they serve for. Mm-hmm. And then there's this fun word, henotheism. This you don't hear as often when we talk about like divinity right. and deities and stuff. So henotheism accepts the existence of more than one deity, but considers all deities as equivalent representations or aspects of the same divine principle. This one is one of those, this next one is a word that I always have trouble saying because I never know where the correct emphasis goes on, but monolatry?
Yeah.
Monolatry, right? Okay. So monolatry is the belief that many deities exist, but that only one of these deities may be validly worshipped. So even though there's multiple deities, there's like only one that really you owe that kind of worship to.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's monotheism, the belief that only one deity exists. A monotheistic deity known as God, capital G, is usually described as omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, omnibenevolent, and eternal. There is no beginning and no end.
Mm-hmm.
However, not all deities have been regarded this way, and an entity does not need to be almighty, omnipresent, omniscient, or any of that stuff to qualify as a deity. Deism is the belief that only one deity exists who created the universe, but does not usually intervene in the resulting world. So I think it's a little different than, you know, what we see as God. Because he created everything, yeah. but he takes a little more of an active role in our lives.
I feel like deism reminds me more of like a scientific idea.
Yeah,
like maybe there's some consciousness to the world.
Yes, like why like is there
is not.
Yeah, it's anything. Like that existential, like why is there anything at all? Right. Where did it all come from? I think us little humans can't really fully understand or wrap our heads around that. Hence the question, we don't know the answer to that. So it's like mm-hmm. the belief that, okay, we all come from something and let's call that a divine being. But it might not be like a mm-hmm. being how we understand it, because us humans, we love to humanize really anything.
Right.
And who says that this, you know, this person is that we're modeled at all like this thing that we come from.
Mm-hmm.
Deism was particularly popular among Western intellectuals during the 18th and 19th centuries. Fun fact. Now, pantheism. This sounds familiar, right? Pantheon. This is the belief that the universe itself is God, or that everything composes an all-encompassing eminent deity. But actually, you know, kind of overlaps on, for at least for how I was raised in like my Catholic parish, that we believed that, you know, God could be in everything. But I think that depends on just kind of person to person, how you're raised, mm-hmm. but that's what pantheism is. Pandeism, not to be confused with pantheism. So pandeism is an intermediate position between these, proposing that the creator became a pantheistic universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, to continue to like confuse y'all, panentheism. People are like, okay, now you're just making these up. Panentheism is the belief that divinity pervades the universe, but that it also transcends the universe.
That one's just so beautiful.
It really, I know, I'm like, oh, that was like, I know that that was prose, but it almost sounded like poetry.
Yeah.
And then these last two, many of us have definitely heard of and are more familiar with, mm-hmm. agnosticism. Is the position that it is impossible to know for certain whether a deity of any kind exists.
Mm-hmm.
So next is atheism, which is the non-belief in the existence of any deity. Agnosticism, right. I always view it, and I could be wrong because I am not agnostic. I sometimes have like agnostic musings when I get into my existential crisis and maybe religious crisis sometimes, like I feel like many of us do. But yeah. I feel like it's atheism light, where you're like, I mean, I don't know what's out there. I'm not writing anything off, but neither am I saying definitively what is out there.
Right. It's kind of, I think, accepting that you just don't know.
Yeah.
Whereas you're just atheism
kind of
is,
open.
Is, right. Mm-hmm. Atheism is strictly you do not believe. You have thought about it and you have decided you do not believe in a higher power. You do not yeah. believe in any of that. And there are, I know, several, plenty of pure atheists who just are, you know, they don't wonder. They see, I think we're here, we die, and we just kind of go away.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone remembers that joke by Dane Cook with him, like, sneezing. Or not him sneezing, but, like, somebody around him sneezed. And then he goes, oh, bless you. And then the person, I guess, is an atheist, and they get offended and say, like, I'm an atheist. And and Dane Cook says something to the effect of, like, well, what am I supposed to say when you sneeze? Nothing happens when you die. but pretty much that, you know, that it's just,
yeah.
And honestly, I will open up and be a little vulnerable here and say that I have had my own, like, crises and doubts in faith. And this happened in a time when I was, like, very, very Catholic and very active in mm-hmm. my church. And so felt like a little bit of an imposter syndrome, but I did struggle with my faith. And, I really, like, started entertaining the thought of, like, we could just all be an accident. And, mm-hmm. you know, all of this could just be us trying to feel better about death. Because, you know, oblivion is a very scary thing to entertain. Without things mm-hmm. getting too dark, though, I think it's, you know, I think it's important to kind of understand all these different, there's so many different perspectives that you can see.
Right.
In regards to our existence and what is out there. Obviously, we're going over deity work today. So, you know, I mean, I feel like we've gotten some people that have written in and have struggled with, like, not knowing what, like, if they want to, oh my gosh, sorry, ADHD, my brain is going everywhere and my mouth can't keep up. But I know there are people that start along this witchy path, are extremely intrigued in paganism or neo-paganism, however you want to refer to it, mm-hmm. think that they have to subscribe to a particular pantheon, but also struggle with the fact of, like, having to commit to particular mm-hmm. deities that they don't necessarily really believe in. And you can mm-hmm. absolutely be an agnostic pagan and yeah. just be spiritual and observe your own spirituality and maybe different holidays, sure. But I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, whoever's listening, whatever you believe in, it is valid. You're allowed to believe in that. We are just going to be presenting different perspectives. And for those who are interested in deity work,
yes,
this is how you get into it.
And it's not for everyone. It's not required. There are plenty out there who do not do deity work and will never do deity work. And
that is okay.
That's valid. You don't have to do it. And you shouldn't be feeling pressured by others in your community to be involved in it either.
Because I know that that's a huge pressure in the witchy mm-hmm. community.
Yeah. Who are you working with? Who's your patron deity?
And you
know, none of your business.
There's some people that, like, the grand majority of their practice has to do with deity work. Mm-hmm. And there's also, you know, like, I personally will see some of these people and, like, there's, like, a little too into it in my perspective. I'm like, wow, like,
right,
leaning into it, like, a lot. But honestly, do what makes you happy. Do what feels good to your yeah. practice. So if you are interested in deity work, this is the episode for you. So yeah, on to you.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go over a little bit of like what is deity work.
Yeah.
Because I think once people are like, I'm going to work with a deity, what the fuck do I do?
Right.
What is that? Do I want to do that?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go over that a little bit. So basically, deity work itself is just a term that describes the act of forming relationships with spirits and deities. And I say spirits because though we are covering specifically deities, there may be particular like land spirits or animal spirits, things like mm-hmm. that, depending on your culture, your belief system
yeah.
that can be involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
But starting relationships with deities and spirits means knowing what these relationships can look like, because that in itself is basically what deity work is. It's a relationship. And that I don't want to get too off on a tangent, but there is we're not going to cover romantic deity work. That is a thing. There is a term called god spousing. I, to be perfectly honest, didn't want to cover it because I think it's weird. It's valid. There are plenty of cultures that do practice it. Nuns do it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They are married to God.
Yep.
It is valid. It's just I
feel like it's just a different beast. Like that's a whole other different level that
it is.
If we do cover it, it behooves
it's not
us.
Intro.
Yeah, it behooves us to have it be more of a deep dive and it be its own episode.
Yes.
So maybe, I don't know, check in with us in about a year. Because I feel like as the podcast goes along, the less right. general our episodes get, we start getting a little more specific. But yeah, check in yeah. with us in a year or two. We might cover that.
Yes. And when it also comes to certain topics, because I do a lot of the research, is if I feel any sort of bias on a topic, I hold off because I don't want that to come through in something that's informational, because
yeah.
that's just not fair.
Yeah.
And I always work on my biases. I don't want to feel biased towards something. It's always a cue to me that there's more for me to learn. So it is definitely something I'm open to. I'm open to, basically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
Yes, I would agree. Absolutely. Check back in if that's something you're into. But we're sticking to beginnings here.
Yeah, I think it would be tough for us to speak to that because neither of us
exactly
have done that or yeah. are committing to do that. So it would be interesting if we were to do an episode on that to get somebody who actually does that.
Right.
Sometimes you just need to hear it from the horse's mouth, what it's all about.
Exactly. Exactly. And there is like a certain aspect to it that I can kind of maybe it's a whole thing. I'm like, I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah.
There's a certain type of witch that we'll be covering, not next, but after that, where I don't know if you remember this. Well, and I remember it. I'll circle back to it, but not in this episode. Anyway.
Moving on.
Moving on. That's another, like, soundbite we need.
I know, right?
To, like, hit.
Someday we'll get one of those fun soundbite boards.
Yeah. That's what we really
need. Oh, yeah.
Watch we get one off of, like, eBay from like a really old radio station.
Oh my god, I would love that.
Okay, like the car honking sound.
No, what? I want the one that they use on Douche Nation in Parks and Rec. Where they have like all these very specific stingers.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Moving on. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Back to work. Okay. So yes, we need to know what these relationships can look like. So thanks to colonization and the spread of Christianity, most Westerners, I would say American people, but it's more than that.
Yeah.
We basically have a very heavily Christianized view of divinity.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you weren't raised in any faith or belief system, it just kind of permeates. We as Americans do live in a nation where majority of people are Christian. The majority of people believe it should be a Christian country. which is like a whole nother thing. But that's why even if you weren't raised in a religion at all, you're still going to have that view because that's just what's around you.
It's just ingrained, especially here in the States. Mm-hmm. I mean, in God we trust. Way to separate church and state. Jesus Christ.
Exactly. Which is, you know, you got to hand it to the Satanic Temple for really trying to call that out at the very least. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
Anyway, because of this, it's likely your understanding of a like God devotee relationship is more of a like Lord servant type dynamic,
mm-hmm.
which would involve things like obedience, mm-hmm. servitude, worship, humbling yourself to God, yep. placing God above all, mm-hmm. risking God's anger if you don't. I so remember going to when I was forced to go through confirmation and I had to go to this like camp thing
mm-hmm.
and they went over all these things that you need to do as a Catholic. And I was like, why would you fear a deity? Like, I don't want to fear anybody. And that was, they spent so much time talking about it. And we had t-shirts that said it too.
Oh my God. What did they say?
Fear God.
Really?
I forget what else it said, but yeah. And I was like, no, thank you.
Wow, that was a very different experience than my like Catholic camp. Our shirts said no matter what, which alluded to like God loves you no matter what, which is, I feel like, a much more welcoming way rather than
fear me. Mine was God loves you if you fear him. So that was what So anyway.
Anywho.
Like writing these notes, I'm like,
it's so,
yes, I recall this.
Honestly, it's so funny how we have a similar background on paper, but our parishes taught very different things.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they were within the same sect of Christianity.
Right. Exactly. Oh God, I have stories, but everything I just covered, that's not deity work. So if you are getting into this because you are looking for that type of dynamic, totally valid if that's what you want, but that's not deity work. You want to have a deity to worship then. So just want to make that clear right off the bat.
That's a good distinction. Deity work versus deity worship.
Exactly. And a lot of people, I think, kind of
blend.
Either they both blend them or they confuse them. Because I've seen both.
Yeah.
Because most people who are getting into deity work, they're not looking to be a servant of anything, but are more looking for guidance or for help or a hand to hold. They're looking for a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Very different.
Mm-hmm.
Something more in line with like a student teacher type relationship. And a lot of people who get into deity work, identify as pagan or something similar, and as such have more animistic beliefs, which wouldn't line up with a worship dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
I just burped again, sorry. Deity relationships work the same way as human relationships. They can take on any dynamic. They can be healthy. They can be unhealthy. And I didn't finish my notes here, but they can begin and end, I think, is one of the most important things. It doesn't mean it's a lifelong relationship. It can be a short term, like, I just need a tutor to get me through to finals,
mm-hmm.
and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be longer. It's a relationship. So a big part of this has to do with how a religion or belief views divinity. So in Christianity, God is seen as both a paragon to live up to and a being to please.
Mm-hmm.
But in, say, Norse paganism, for example, deities represent human behavior taken to larger than life proportions and therefore are figures we can relate to.
Mm-hmm. And pantheons often are like that.
Yes, that's true to most pantheons. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's some like wild things that occur.
There's
larger than life.
There's drama.
They are the ultimate soap opera.
I was going to say that same thing, that they were the telenovela before telenovelas.
dude, for real. And so you may see some like witchy influencers share their deity interactions, which of course, most cases, not all, but most cases are these overacted, either funny, very entertaining, not the most realistic views for the most part.
I mean, it's the same as those like influencers that like I follow this one married couple that they use sounds to relate to a particular situation that they experience in married life. But obviously it's like a caricature of those real moments.
Right. Exactly. But it can be a little damaging to the people who don't know or people who are just, they want it to be like that. So they think it needs to be like that.
Right.
It's harder, I think, to find people who share what it's really like.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's great when you do find those people because it can validate your experiences.
Yeah.
Especially if that's what you need. But I think it's important to be clear on what a healthy deity relationship does look like. So a healthy relationship should have consent, clear communication, mutual understanding, respect for boundaries, and should leave you feeling fulfilled. It should not include control tactics, non-consensual actions, fear tactics, intimidation, and threats, as well as manipulative behavior. So
those are
as
like
people share their deity stories.
Those are literally all the bullet points of an abusive relationship. So
exactly.
I.e. it should not be abusive.
Right. And these should all be, I mean, any relationship, even with real people.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are pretty good distinctions. But if you're working with a deity, if you're working with something unseen, these, I think, are really important to keep in mind. These relationships can be started by either you or the deity. You do not need to wait for something to reach out to you or claim you.
Oh, you God, can that's just scary like, sounding. Hey.
Right? I know. I don't work with demons, but I'm waiting for a deity to claim me.
Oh, God.
You guys, come on. If you want to work with a specific deity, it's perfectly fine to reach out first. These are relationships that are built. They're not assigned by anything or anyone. Just like any, well, I was going to say just like any relationship. There are
arranged relationships. Yep.
I was going to say assigned marriages, but like same
it's
thing.
It's arranged.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, in real life, that is a thing, but not in deity work.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, I mean, deity relationships can look a lot like mundane ones would. They fulfill spiritual needs rather than physical ones, so they can be pretty just chill. And deity work takes time and effort, as well as periods of research, learning new tools or crafts, improving your clairsenses, and above all, growth. And finally, deity work is between you and the deity. Period. If you need an interpreter to do the work, that's not deity work.
And it's probably and someone trying some to people. Make a buck off you.
Exactly. Yep. Someone saying, this deity is trying to reach out to you. Or you're working with them and they're saying you need to do this or that. No. Nah. Nah. Sometimes you may feel like you need clarity on something that maybe your intuition isn't as strong, or maybe you're having a battle between your intuition and like your thinking mind.
Yeah.
That's okay to get, you know, clarity on something. But if you are like, you need someone to communicate or work with a deity, no. Just no.
Yeah. If you're like paying somebody to do the heavy lifting and like, tell me what to do, you know, it's, you need to establish the connection, not, you know,
exactly.
be connected by proxy through somebody who's like a middle person.
Exactly. Because that would be either a sign of just not a strong relationship with that deity. So why are you working with them? Or it's leaving you open to being abused by somebody else
Taking
who can tell
of.
You literally anything.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. So now that we've established what a deity is, what deity work is, and you're like, yeah, let's do this thing. This is how you get started. First thing you want to do is you really want to find your big why. Why do you want to work with a deity? It doesn't even have to be this particular a particular deity. Just why do you want? Just in general, why do you feel like you need to turn to deity work? Determine that why. Is it a specific goal? Are you looking to grow a specific skill? Maybe you're experiencing, you know, just like you're feeling down. You need some sort of like spiritual pick me up. And again, that mentorship, almost like think of it as like maybe a spiritual life coach. That's what you're looking for.
Right.
Ask yourself if you're wanting to work with a specific deity or if you're open to who wants to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is not like somebody claiming you, but there's different approaches on how to connect with deities. And we'll get into that. But
I always think of like Sabrina in the first season when she is looking for a familiar and she just kind of puts it out there like,
yes,
this is what I'm looking for.
She broadcasts that she is open to it, and thus that's how, you know, that relationship starts.
She got Salem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know that there's different practices, you know, that you got in nature, this and that. Anyways, we won't get into it too much, but other ways to get started. So, you know, asking yourself if you're wanting to work with specific deity, blah, blah, blah. So maybe you've been feeling pulled or called to work with a deity. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, if you're like spidey senses, your spiritual intuition, you're getting some alerts. And you could also look into your ancestry if you're able to, because this could actually open you up to deities that your ancestors would have worked with or venerated. We did, I remember a while back, we had somebody who wrote into our listener stories that they followed the Norse pantheon, and then they did like one of those like 23andMe tests and found out that they also had Celtic in them, and then also opened up their practice to work with Celtic deities. So it can be very eye-opening. And there is something, just like when we talk about like generational trauma, there can also be, I think, generational spiritual connection. So if there's if there's a deity that is that is connected with your family or your ancestors, you could have that within like the fabric of your spirituality and not know it.
Exactly. I think that's like the driving force behind a lot of pagans.
Yeah.
Or people who identify as pagan.
No, absolutely. And, you know, you can begin researching just different deities. Again, it doesn't have to be a deity that your ancestors worshipped. When you look into different deities, though, this can help identify just knowing who's known for what are they associated with. It could even help you kind of suss out who you should work with. Like if you're seeing signs like, oh, this, you know, this deity is known for birds. I'm seeing birds everywhere or whatever it is, you know, could definitely help you whittle down who you are best to work with. You can begin to prepare a sacred space or altar. Even if you aren't worshiping them yet, if you haven't even figured it out, you know, start like nesting, if you will, for your deity work. It can allow you to create a place of focus and dedication for that work.
I think that's very like beginning of the school year, like going out and getting your binders, your pens.
There's
your
something
paper,
really
like,
exciting.
I'm all set.
Yeah, it's always exciting to have a new start, even though you know a month into school you're going to be like, ugh, school. But still, then there's always this excitement when a new cycle begins. So when you're striking up this new relationship with whatever deity you're working with, it can be very, very exciting. And that's definitely a way to invest in your deity work before maybe even knowing who it is that you're going to work with. And it might be the space that you need to determine who that deity will be, right?
Right.
You can spend time meditating, just being mindful, keeping your eyes peeled for those signs that I mentioned, whatever it is that you do to keep your mind open to a deity. If you do have a deity in mind that you want to work with, then you start focusing on them. Dedicate your space and mind to them. Wait to see if they're willing to work with you. Again, using your intuition, keeping your eyes peeled for signs. If you don't have a deity in mind, just keep yourself open. It's also very helpful to keep a journal to write down any experiences or signs that show up so you can start seeing patterns.
Right. And maybe you don't realize what you are noticing.
Yeah, totally.
And you realize like, oh shit, I've seen that like 5 times this week.
Yeah.
Something maybe mundane, but like could still have meaning.
Totally.
Now, that being said, if you're keeping your eyes out for signs of deities, what can that look like? So if a deity or spirit decides to reach out, they'll do so in a way that you'll understand. Mm-hmm. So like, speaking of spirits, your non-smoking grandma isn't suddenly going to make themselves known by cigarette smoke, right?
Yeah.
They're not going to suddenly do something
out of character.
What? No, they're not going to do that. So you'll want to keep yourself open to synchronicities or coincidences that are just too uncanny to be coincidences.
Right.
These may appear as omens or dreams or divination. And of course, through our clairabilities. If a deity appears through omens, they'll do so using examples mainly of their associations. So
right.
For me in particular, this could be somebody like Odin appearing through two ravens, like specifically two ravens, or Athena through owls. Those are two things they're associated with. You see them enough times and you're aware of the association. It's pretty easy to consider those synchronicities. Sometimes omens can take like a much more mundane appearance, but still maintain the uncanny quality of a synchronicity. The key would be if they pop up when you least expect it versus when you're looking for it. So like if you're not thinking about it and it pops up and you've been kind of keeping track of these things that are coming up, that's a good sign that it is an omen. And obviously, as I'm talking about omens, like we have a whole episode where we interview Philip.
Oh, yeah.
Augury. So that's all about omens.
Yeah. That's definitely a great, that's a great episode, man. That's like, I think, sometime within our first year. Like,
oh, yeah.
It was one of your first episodes with me, like, as the new host. Mm-hmm. I think you were still known as, like, officially as, like, an interim host, but we were about to announce you as the official new host. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was.
And he talked quite a bit about omens and synchronicities, things like that. So discerning whether or not something is an omen can take practice, especially early on when you're looking for them at, like, every turn, where you're like, I want to work with Athena so bad. Can I please see this? Can I please see that? Like, you're going to have to work on that. And obviously, because sometimes seeing two ravens may indicate Odin, but other times they're just chilling. And maybe it's their natural habitat. So they are where they are, right?
Uh-huh.
If you're unsure if you are being given signs or not, reach out to the deity and ask for clarity or request specific signs. Maybe you live in a place where like their most common association is just everywhere. And you're like, look, I need something a little more specific to like know for sure. And then, of course, deities may also appear in dreams. So similar to omens, you'll have to discern if it's meaningful or not. Maybe your brain just has, in this case of Odin, ravens, just on the mind. It's your favorite bird. It's my favorite bird. I do see them all the time. So that, you know, obviously you'd have to work on. But dreams can be extra special because deities can show themselves in ways that they can't in the real world.
Yeah.
So they can show themselves. They would show things other than just their associations. You may see what they were known for. So like, obviously, if you were like, oh my God, I want to work with Thor, and you live somewhere where there's no thunderstorms ever, how's he going to make himself known? But in your dreams, maybe you dream a lot about thunderstorms.
Yeah.
Right. Or yeah. just lightning, things like that.
Or flowing red hair.
Oh, God. Yes. big barrel chested. Yeah. Yeah. So this is also a great time to try to initiate the relationship. As you're the one making the first step. There are also a number of deity spreads that you can use through either tarot or mm-hmm. oracle cards. There's all kinds of ways you can do that. I keep losing my spot. Stick to your notes, Laura. This is why you do them. Okay, so like I said, there are a number of spreads. We're not going to share like a specific one in this episode because there are so many mm-hmm. and it really depends on your needs and who and how you want to do your work. So definitely poke around and see what you find. And if you are intuitive when it comes to card readings, maybe come up with your own spread.
Yeah. Honestly, all you have to do is just establish what each placement will mean exactly. or answer. And that's all you need for a spread. But if you're not as creative, like, you know, I am not creative with spreads. I have to go to Pinterest and find some things. That's one of my favorite spots to go. You just search, you know, deity tarot spread and it'll pop up. So yep. many will pop up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You won't be looking hard. finally, you can use your clair abilities.
Ah, yes.
That's a big one, especially if you I don't want to say if you have abilities. I think everybody does. But if there's something that you've worked on, that you've established, like, I have this ability and I know how it works,
mm-hmm.
Definitely lean into that. And again, make sure you know the deity's associations, because if you're like me and your nose is your best sense, maybe know what smells might be associated with them. Because you never know. I mean, it's my best one. It's not my only one. But just saying, like, if your best one is one of the whatever, just keep that kind of stuff in mind.
Yeah. All right. So, working with your deity. Once you've established who you're working with, you're going to want to establish what kind of working relationship you'll have. So this is all dependent on your path and what your practice is like.
Mm-hmm.
You may begin your veneration having an mm-hmm. altar. You can leave daily offerings of food, drink, trinkets, candles, etc. You can use this as a place to check in with them regularly and as a place of work. So perhaps you have your divination tool there as well. I mean, I have all my divination tools hanging mm-hmm. out on my altar. And some people have what are called patron or matron deities, though most just use the term patron, since patron matron makes it seem like you need both.
That's actually kind of more of like a Wiccan thing too.
Yeah. We're not finding new parents. A patron slash matron is the deity that a devotee is most connected to and is established over time. So
mm-hmm.
you're not starting with a patron. This deity right. plays a special role in your life that goes beyond a standard devotional relationship. A mm-hmm. patron or matron would be your go-to for protection, guidance, comfort, no matter what attribute that deity has, or attributes, mm-hmm. multiple. Now, all this being said, this is not a parental relationship and is especially not an unhealthy parental relationship. It's a working mm-hmm. relationship. And like any student-mentor relationship, you'll have times of deep, constant work as well as times of no contact. This is normal. It doesn't have to right. be like Zeus all day, every day.
Right.
It's a working relationship. Like yes. you don't see your coworkers all the time on the reg.
Nope.
When you have an established relationship and you're beginning your work, you'll have established a means of when you'll work and how. So mm-hmm. using the same methods you used to reach out to them, they'll most likely use the same method to work with you. So depending mm-hmm. on what your goal is, They may appear in your dreams to help you work through something. They may appear during your meditation to show you images or symbols to help you on your path of learning. They may also send you omens as reminders of the work you're doing. If you're simply wishing to work on establishing yourself as a witch, maybe you're working with Hecate.
Mm-hmm.
And as you go about your day, maybe she shows you reminders to keep it witchy in the form of finding keys everywhere you go. Again, depending on your goal, perhaps you enter into a creative endeavor and you call on your deity to work through your project or perhaps to inspire you and invite them to any ritual or spell work you do. I feel like, you know, any spell that you kind of like find online or if you create your own, obviously, you know, definitely try to work whatever deity you're working with, just include them or even build perhaps spells kind of around them if you're calling upon them for particular strength or attribute that they have. And that attribute is there's a symbolism to it, like the keys. So if you're trying to connect with Hecate, maybe you do a spell or ritual that involves keys. Yep. It's just you have to be very intentional because they're going to be very intentional with how they communicate with you. So it has that it's a relationship, it's a two-way street that has to be mirrored. You can't just kind of haphazardly do stuff. You get what you give.
Exactly.
And you know, when you work with rituals or spells and involve them, this is like having your mentor by your side as you show off your skills. And remember that it is work. So it definitely is very goal-based. So again, it's not like very venerational or like worshipy. Deity work is, as it says, work. So you're putting your time and energy into this and they want to see you succeed.
Yeah. That's why they're working with you.
Yeah. They're not just going to waste their time.
Right. Exactly. Now, all those things being said, there's obviously going to be some warnings when it comes to deity work.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because deity work, honestly, it's not to be taken lightly, which is why you really have to prepare for it. It's not generally recommended to those that are new to their craft because you really have to establish yourself before bringing someone else on board. So I have seen a lot of like baby witches or witchlings be like, I need to find my patron deity or I want to start working with a deity. You got to work. French one first before you get a tutor. It's a lot. It's a lot. And if you're still figuring things out, give yourself that time. You owe it to yourself and you owe it to them, too. But not only that, you also have to be prepared to weed out possibly imposters or even your own brain.
Yeah.
There is a term, I kind of like it, a mental sock puppet. So a mental sock puppet is the result of you talking to yourself and interpreting that self-talk as something else, which... To be clear, self-talk is actually extremely beneficial. It is a good way to work through things on your own, but you have to be able to discern between your brain and a deity.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. These are very different things.
Yeah.
It's totally fair when you're dealing with something to like self-talk and get it out and be like, okay, cool. Thanks, brain. We got this. That's entirely different to work with a deity. So if you are not sure if you're dealing with a mental sock puppet or not, here are some signs. So it acts in accordance to your whims and expectations. You receive no new or unique information from encountering with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's only as knowledgeable as you are. Mm. It has no autonomous nature. It only abides by your will. And it gives no omens or signs unless you're looking for them.
It's pretty good list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I there's nothing to add to that. Really, I think it's perfect. Now, depending on your beliefs, some will say there are lying or trickster deities and spirits. And I think that's definitely a topic that does come up frequently with deity work.
Yeah, we've touched on it
from other people.
Yeah, we've touched on it a teeny bit in some past episodes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, if you do come across that, an imposter spirit or deity will display any of the following signs. Right. They may exhibit spiritual abuse red flags, such as performing non-consensual actions. They may refuse to let you interact with other entities, people, or do further research on them. They claim they can give you everything you want. They rush you into oaths or vows, which we didn't really go over that because to me that is not intro to deity work. That is a little further into things. That is something that can be done with a deity. Kind of similar to God spousing, but in a different way. They also just may be pressuring you into making an oath or a vow to them. That's a big no-no.
Yeah.
If they're getting mad at your boundaries, if they claim you're their chosen or special person, that is a big red flag. If they demand inappropriate things, and especially if they do this right away, and if their demands feel tricky rather than reciprocal, if they're dodgy about their identity, they prey on your insecurities, your desires. If their behavior or personality is inconsistent, that's another one. Their personality, if it seems wildly out of character for the entity they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
If they don't recognize you, if you've had prior interactions or remember previous interactions, this I think especially big would be like in dream work. If you like see them in your dream again and they're like, who are you? What? They're vague about who they are and don't demonstrate it in any meaningful way. They show signs of being someone else. Those are all like major, major red flags.
Honestly, if you're getting the creeps going through this list, I just keep getting chills. It's super creepy.
Yeah. And, you know, it may not always be that it's a bad entity. Like I said, I use the term trickster too. It could just be someone having, I think some people when they have this stuff like this come up immediately are like, is this Loki? Are you just fucking with me? So it doesn't necessarily mean it's, I mean, these are not good things. They should not be doing these, but like, it doesn't necessarily mean like
that they're evil.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think for the most part, most deity work, the people working with deities aren't necessarily the ones to jump to something being evil. Because again, this is a little bit more humanistic versus bigger religious kind of world. But
the monotheistic world loves throwing demons around. And they do believe in, like, I know that there are people who believe that are Christian and believe in like tricksters. They basically believe that if you have any sort of paranormal experience, like, that's not your grandma that you saw walking down the hall.
It's a demon.
It's a demon. Like, any sort of paranormal or supernatural experience you're experiencing is just the devil trying to trick you. There's, you know, I know some people that are like that. But yes, they, monotheistic religions love throwing around the word demon or evil or devil.
Yeah.
And I'm personally on, like, the fence about it. I think ever since getting into the witchy world, it's opened my eyes that like not everything that is unfamiliar is going to be a demon.
Right. Yeah. It's not like I got so excited when Discovery Plus came out and I signed up and I started watching all these paranormal shows and it was like everywhere, no matter what the show was, everywhere they went, oh, it's a demon. Oh, it's the gates to hell. And it's like, no.
Do you know
come
who
on.
Do you know who you can probably thank for that? The Exorcist.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you know, before the Exorcist, the like Ouija boards were really seen as just like games, like entertaining games. Yes. Some people did use them as spiritual tools for sure. I'm not going to dismiss that because that's what was.
We have an episode on that.
Yeah, but it was post 1973 that suddenly Ouija boards were considered tools to invite evil into your home. And it's, you know, The Exorcist, while it says that it's based on true events, the actual true events that it's not based on, it had nothing to do with a Ouija board.
Right.
So
I think he tried to claim it at one point because it was a little boy.
It was a little boy, like, yeah. the original
story. If you look into the history, like, of the real story, it's very short. There's not a lot on it, which it's, you know, kind of a red flag. So, like, not much history and then this big production around it. And it always baffles me when people are like, oh, my God, Ouija boards are so evil. But let me pull out my tarot oracle pendulum and talk to a medium.
If you use like a pendulum board, that's still a spirit board. Like you're just using a pendulum instead of a planchette.
Right. Like it's just there's no good reason for it when people demonize that.
But yeah. It just, it's a,
and
a
they symptom demonize
of,
it.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Demonize. yeah, it's a symptom of the satanic panic. And I think it's still very prevalent because a lot of our parents grew up during that period of time. And they handed those beliefs down. And Hollywood has taken advantage of that because they know that that shock horror sells.
Oh, God. Hollywood is to blame for so many things, including like, I'm so sick of seeing people being like, I have a haunted Dybbuk box.
Oh my God. That's not a real thing. It's not real.
It's not a real thing. That's not how it works.
It might as well have been a creepypasta, the story of the Dybbuk box.
Right.
Like, yeah.
It just was. I feel so bad for Jewish people having to deal with all the shit that.
Oh my God. Seriously.
Everyone else does. Though I feel like the guy was Jewish who made the claim. I could be wrong. I feel like. I don't know. I got to go back. Anyway, we've gotten so off topic, but.
Anywho.
Look out for imposters. Look out for tricksters. Yes. For whatever it may be. Just keep an eye out for that.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly, you should never feel forced into doing something when it's not convenient for you. When it comes to daily work. I was really on something when I wrote my notes, and I feel so stupid saying this now, in terms of, like, feeling forced to do something when it's not convenient. Mr. Miyagi didn't pull Ralph Macchio out of school during important testing to learn karate, right? And then I wrote in parentheses, wait, right? Because I don't remember. Maybe that did happen. I don't know.
You mean Danny Russo. Ralph Macchio was the karate actor. Kid?
Yeah.
But the character name, was.
Oh, no, Daniel I know.
Daniel DeRusso. Not Russo, DeRusso.
I never remember his last name, but everyone talks about him as Ralph, so that's why I did that. But that was my point.
That definitely sounds like Cobra Kai shit, not Miyagi shit.
Well, you know.
But who knows?
We don't need to talk about it.
It's been a very long time since I've seen the original movies. Yeah.
Anyway, they shouldn't be invading your space, right? Whether this is them being there 24/7 or making themselves known when they're not invited, like, boundaries are important. And it always kills me when people share their, like, daily interactions as if, like, they're there all the time. And I'm just like, why? did you ask them to do that? Because that's unsettling. Right. Imagine like your Spanish tutor just like moves in with you
and insists that you only speak Spanish all the time.
And you're like, oh, my God. And you're like, I didn't ask for this. Let me go to bed. And they wake you up in the middle of the night.
Like, let's go over.
conjugate the word to eat.
I don't care if it's 3 a.m.
I just want to sleep. that shouldn't be happening. They also should never startle you. I mean, that is unless, like, you're someone who startles very easily and, like, any of, like, your clair abilities make you go, like, oh. I always think of, like, of Ariel, who we had on here and interviewed, who, like, has a very strong clair ability of seeing spirits. And if that's how you experience things, I can imagine things would startle when it's that you, no visceral, matter what.
Holy shit. I commend her for going about just her day-to-day life with the stuff that she sees.
Yeah. Which is so funny because, like, I just started watching Ghost Whisperer, Oh, I don't know why God. I never like got into that show before.
Oh my God, I loved that show.
I just started. I'm on the finale of season one.
Wow.
Nice. But it's, you know, she sees and can talk to spirits. Obviously, yes. It's very different because she talks like out loud to them, which I'm like, okay, like you would be talking like in your head, I'm sure. If this was like for real. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it made me think of Ariel as I was watching it. Very different though in how she interacts and what the interactions are like. But
right.
They shouldn't startle you in the way that it does on the show for her.
Mm-hmm.
To then be like, hi, I'm here, let's work. Like, this shouldn't quite be like that. Finally, you should never feel burdened by working with a deity.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes time to end your work, because it does not, like I said earlier, have to be a forever thing, there should be a graceful exit. It should not be a breakup. You are ending your mentorship, mm-hmm. right? And when starting out on your journey, don't forget to use your protection magic and some shielding if, you know, you're really worried about those imposters or tricksters who may try to jump on the opportunity. And again, yeah. This also just really depends on your practice. Some people really feel like they need to use the protective magic. Other people who maybe lean much more into their clair abilities or mediumship even abilities may not feel the need. It's totally up to you.
I remember like a while back, I think it was the very first time that we mentioned deity work, and it was when Melanie was doing the podcast with me, and Melanie said something so funny. I just loved the way that she would say some things, but she was basically saying how some of these witchy influencers that do work with deities, and they'll be like, she was talking about somebody who was live streaming and they were walking through Target and said that they had, I forget who, some sort of deity with them. And she's like, I'm calling fucking bullshit. That's if they actually are working with a deity, that it is an imposter, because so-and-so won't have the time of day to help you pick out your socks, Karen. It was just so funny. But I think also that's
God, it's true. Though,
I think we were talking about like the importance.
Why would they care about your socks?
Yeah, like honestly, like if it doesn't surround your spiritual work, I'm sorry.
They don't need to be there.
That is a red flag if they start kind of like being present in your, like, I think that's like crossing a boundary. Like
right.
When, you know, it's no longer segregated your deity work with your mm-hmm. just like day-to-day life. It right. really should just that those interactions should be spiritual experiences and not just like going out and doing errands with your deity bestie. That's not what deity work is. And I will say as well, we've said this before, but I have to preface it because it's been a while since we've said it. If you do have strong clair abilities, or maybe you've never really worked with, you know, to develop clair abilities, but if you start seeing things, start hearing things,
mm-hmm.
we strongly advise you to go and get that checked out to make sure that it isn't something right. else,
right?
Health wise.
Oh yeah.
Like, we just have to say that. Personally, a lot of these things where, you know, you started listing off like the red flags,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't even register a deity to be able to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it sounds, I know that people who do deity work, this is a possibility. I don't so much do deity work. I do more like veneration, right? Mm-hmm. But it almost sounds like, you know, very like a natural or thing where like, wow, like, they can really be, they can be so present that they can take advantage of you, or you can have those clear communications. Right. And while I don't dismiss anyone having that ability to communicate with their deity, I just always like to have a healthy level of, not skepticism, but mm-hmm. self-preservation, I'll say, mm-hmm. to make sure that you're taking care of yourself on all fronts. And so I right. feel like if you are viscerally experiencing, and not like if you're dreaming things, like dreams are dreams.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's like fair game in dreams, right? Because you're dreaming. Mm-hmm. You're, you know, you're connecting with the spiritual world. Things that you experience in dreams are totally possible, but if you are awake and hearing voices, seeing things, please get that checked out to make sure that you are genuinely connecting with an entity.
Right. I think that's a very, very good thing to put out there, because maybe you are, maybe you're not. Maybe there is something health-wise going on. Maybe it's both. Yeah. You won't know unless you get it checked out. And then I also have to preface it, because I do believe in deity work. I believe there are plenty of people who get a lot out of it. But I also have seen and have kind of discerned from some of what's out there. I think there's a small group of people who really just want to feel special and want to feel chosen. And maybe it started as deity work, but I think in some cases they've turned it into, I don't even know what, some sort of codependent faux relationship, because
where they like start seeing too much into everything, and I don't know.
Well, and it's like this deity lives with me.
Again,
kind of sense. And I will judge a little bit if you are saying that you can see your deity and talk to your deity and they are there with you, but you're not a medium. You can't talk to any other spirit. You only see deities when it seems to be fitting. That is a red flag as someone in the community.
And I'm also going to argue like the opposite side of the coin, where I feel like what we're describing can sound very intimidating. Like,
right.
I don't think you have to be a medium. Like, oh my gosh, like how we get some witches where they're like, am I a witch if I've never had a paranormal experience? Right. Right? You don't have to be a medium or be an intuitive.
No.
I mean, I feel like everyone has some sort of intuition in some level, but you don't have to have like a developed intuition or mediumship to establish a relationship, because it's not like they're going to show up at your door and you're like literally going to see Thor in front of you and they're like, and he's going to like have Mjolnir and be like swinging around like, all right, girl, let's do this. What do you want to work on? That's not going to happen.
Stop it.
Am I playing into a fantasy here? I feel like once you establish, a lot of these things are a lot more subtle, I think, than how newbies anticipate. I think just if you've ever had any new relationship, like whether it's like your best friend, or if you have a partner, in the beginning you saw signs that this is a person that adds value to my life. But you don't necessarily know them very well. As time goes on and you invest in the relationship, you start naturally picking up on things. Like you can tell when they're in a foul mood, they haven't even opened their mouth. Or it's just you start picking up on their subtleties, on their personalities. Very subtle signs. Now you definitely can get some sort of like, I think especially if they're trying to communicate with you that they're willing to work with you, obviously, you know, they're going to communicate in a way that you can, you know, see it or like interpret it.
Right.
So those like the coincidences or the synchronicities that we were talking about earlier, those could be a little more, you know, in your face just to get your attention, establish things. But like knowing how to communicate, like, how do I know if they're mad? How do I know, you know, it's not like you're going to just be hearing their voice or that they're going to write it in like serial killer letters on your mirror after a shower. And you know, it's a lot more subtle and it takes time. And again, it's what you invest in it. And if you're somebody who is very nervous about those tricksters, definitely do your protection work. But, you know, this is, I think, a lot more, I'm a lot more subtle, I think, than people anticipate. Because I know that a lot of witchlings are very intimidated with deity work, mm-hmm. not just because they don't know where to begin, but it's like once they do, what is that even going to look like? It can be scary.
Yeah. And I think with some of the examples that get that are not just the examples that are given, but the ones that get popular, I think aren't necessarily the best interpretations of what it looks like.
Yeah.
So then I think it sets expectations at a level that's like, well, that's too much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not the case. And I do know, like, I know I've already spoken about her before, but Ariel talks about it working with deities and will speak to how it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
And she, you know, has a particular set of skills and it allows her to work with hers in the way that she does. But I think it's good to see different examples.
Yeah.
Because it's, again, it comes down to your relationship with them. So you get to set what that's going to look like and how it's going to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
which I actually like, I just was thinking too, I'm like, if we ever did go further with deity work, she might actually be good to.
Oh, to bring on
for some of that extra information.
Ariel yeah. Willow is just definitely check her out if you haven't already, dear listener.
Yes. And because she currently is doing, I think she's working with demons.
Oh.
Lucifer and Astaroth?
Yes, because she is.
I'm like, I want to know more.
I forget because she's, how does she say it? She's a satanic.
I forget now.
I forget how she proclaims like her kind of.
Yes.
Identity yes. as a witch and as a practitioner. But I know, you know.
Luciferian?
I don't know. I forget. But I remember her tweeting saying like that. People reach out to me to like work with me, and then as soon as they like learn that I'm whatever it is, whether it's yeah. satanic or Luciferian, like they back off right away. She's like, I'm just making it clear.
Yes.
But it's not in a way where she, not in the satanic panic way either.
Right.
That people automatically associate with when they hear those words satanic or Luciferian. But yeah, she would be a great person to have on the podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, I think to my again. Experiences, yeah, again, because we did have a great episode with her. I think to like my experiences with deities, and really for me, it's going to be JC and... I mean, hey, I'm a Christian witch, right?
Right.
And as well as the Virgin Mother Mary. And
I love that video you sent me.
Which video?
The angel telling Mary she's pregnant.
Oh my gosh! Like, yes.
Aren't you stoked?
Yes. Oh my god.
Who was gonna ask me?
That TikTok is amazing. It's so funny. I had to send it to you, but yeah, so I view Mary, you know, as like an ascended being because mm-hmm. of my background as a Catholic. We love us Mother Mary. Oh, we love her a lot. But you know, because I've had all my life since I was born, I was raised with a relationship with God and Christianity. And honestly, like, I didn't know, like, right away how God/Jesus communicates with me. And it's very, very subtle. It's not always. And it's also, I experience him more, and as well as Mother Mary more, when I actually invest in my spirituality with them. Mm-hmm. I mean, lately, right. my mind and my life has been focusing on different things. And so mm-hmm. I haven't, like, come into communion with those people as right. I used to. Because I'm just not doing, spiritual Christian work right now in the, at mm-hmm. the moment. Because I'm, like, planning a fucking wedding and still settling into a new home and everything.
Right. And working a full-time job.
And I just got a cat. And honestly, like, a lot is going on. And I know he, like, will always love me, right? So We'll chat when we chat, but I think you also kind of develop your own style, I'm sure, in how you want to connect with your mm-hmm. deities. And I certainly, you maybe you have a couple or a few different deities that you're working on right. different specific goals with, because with Jesus, I more focus, I think, on my overall like existence, faith, identity as a person. When I think need more of a direct, direct guidance, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And then I turn to Mother Mary more on my relationships with people, like my more personable life, and my connection to those people, just because I view her as a much more nurturing deity
mm-hmm.
to work with. But yeah, like, you know, you can have a couple different goals that you're working at and right. have a couple different deities that you work with. So that is totally a possibility too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of times the deity work that you do doesn't necessarily have to even be directly connected to your practice.
Yeah.
It can be a little different. Like I do a bit of it. I wouldn't say that like the work is connected necessarily to my beliefs. Mm-hmm. To me, they're two separate things. Because I do very much view it as like a mentor student kind of relationship,
mm-hmm.
Where sometimes you need a mentor in a field that you have nothing to do with, but it's beneficial for you.
Yeah.
Right. So that's kind of how I view it. And very much I'm someone who separates deity work and worship. They're mm-hmm. two very different things to me. Like I said earlier, some people they do a bit of a mix. So like their altar is going to have like a statue of them and they a candle for them. And
exactly,
that is not me.
Because for me, like Christianity and like growing up Catholic, like the religion has both.
Right.
Because it's like you're exactly. venerating, you're worshiping God, but you're also mm-hmm. working on yourself, or you turn to him
right.
when you're trying, you know, when you have specific things in mind and you try to right. listen and try to read those signs that he might give you.
Yeah.
So
right.
that's my background and that's what I carry into my practice. But.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas I actually, in like the last month, have slowly been realizing beyond just identifying as pagan. I feel like it kind of came at a time where I was it the last full moon, maybe? I don't remember now. I think that's kind of when it was cemented, but I wanted to connect more with my spirituality and myself. And it was one of those things where I wouldn't say it was like a deity sending signs, but just mm-hmm. like in general, the universe sending signs.
Right.
And I have come to the realization that I do identify as satanic. Like not, again, for our yeah. listeners, not devil worshiping.
Yes.
I don't believe in the devil. But in the sense of the only thing I will ever worship is myself.
Laura, I'm so like excited for you. That's such a cool breakthrough.
Thank you. It has felt very cool. It's felt very eye-opening and just really reaffirming
mm-hmm.
of my own how I view myself, how I view others, how I view every interaction I have and the things that yeah. I do in my day-to-day life. And just because I think it's something that probably would have happened so much sooner had I not had a Catholic background, because there's always been that in the back of my, like, all that's just not stuff I didn't believe in, but like it's still there, right? It still has an effect. And
yes,
it was just this mixture of like my favorite band, who's kind of there's a satanic band, really.
Which band is
they
it?
Use the imaging of it, Ghost.
Oh, I'm not familiar with them.
I Will Live and Die for them. their album came out, and I've listened to it every single day, in its entirety. I love them, but that came out. And then it, I don't know if like TikTok and Instagram was like, oh, you listened to their album and just started inundating me with like,
oh, that algorithm
videos and mm-hmm. oh my God, the cookies, the internet cookies, they got me. And just was like sending these things from like the Satanic Temple and like what their tenets are. And I was like, you know, this all, it tracks for me. It makes sense for me. And yeah. So I came to that realization. And for me, I definitely, there's deity work. You can work with deities and spirits and grow. But then that worship aspect is very, very separate for me. Where to me, it's more like, I'll work with them, but like, I don't care what it, what they think of me. I have to care about myself mm-hmm. and keep myself in check. And so I do kind of, well, I'll, I think there's a way to kind of bring that into your deity work.
Yeah.
Not to them mm-hmm. or even necessarily with them, but mm-hmm. just to be like, hey, like, just so you know, this is me and how I'm going to be going about things. So. Just so you know. And I think depending on who you're working with, there's a certain level of respect that they have to have for that. And I think it can be beneficial either way, whether you worship or not, for them to know, like, maybe you don't worship them. Maybe you worship somebody else mm-hmm. or maybe you are worshiping them. But making it clear, like, just because I'm worshiping you doesn't mean like you can take advantage of that, please.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Honestly, your practice as a witch and your spirituality and your religion, I feel like people think that's all the same thing.
Yeah.
And honestly, I feel like it's more of a Venn diagram.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
you
in the middle. You are the three overlapping. Mm-hmm. And these three different things are different aspects that ebb and flow and mm-hmm. are entirely extremely individual mm-hmm. and unique person to person, even like, you know, Christian to Christian. Because again, like there's,
right,
you know, there's ones that really lean into the religious aspect, which is, you know, the more ritualistic, the structure of it. Others like mm-hmm. me that I lean more into the spiritual aspect of Christianity. And right. you know, my honest, like, obviously, like, my witch practice did not come from my religion. Right. my Catholic upbringing, like, hell no. As much as, like, we like to argue that Catholicism is pretty witchy, actually. But what I do did not come at all from my background right. with Catholicism. That is something that I developed, is influenced by a lot of different things. And mm-hmm. all these things kind of play into each other. I think of like those three tenets or columns, or we'll mm-hmm. call them like circles if we're going to stay with the Venn diagram metaphor. I think it's very similar to like in psychology when we talk about your thoughts, your feelings, and your behaviors. And how those are three separate things, but they all play.
Cognitive behavior therapy.
Yes. Thank you. How like they're similar, where like they're separate, but they all influence each other. Yeah. And you are right at the middle. It makes up kind of what your being is and how you operate. But they bounce off of each other while being independent of each other.
Yes.
I'm done. End of thought.
Well, you know, I think my voice just cracked. Kind of going off of that, I mean, this is like related, unrelated, and I know it's not like it's our next episode or even our next two, but do you want to share our next type of witch just as we're kind of on the topic?
I guess. So as Laura said, she does the majority of the notes, honestly, like all of the notes for Witchy, pretty much. The only time I really put together notes is like spooky episodes when I obviously have to present my story and surprise Laura with it. That's just the bargain that we've, you know, struck, because I'm the one that does all the editing and setting up of the of the podcast and like setting up on the hosting. Anyways, long story short, this next witchy episode in a couple weeks will be Maria centric. It'll be our next installment of Types of Witches, and I'll be putting together our episode of Christian witches.
Yay! So there have been so many people reaching out, being so thankful for you, sharing what it's like and showing what it's like, and it's about time.
Yes, and I'm really, really excited to do the episode and talk about it. And I'm also very interested to kind of, because even though I'll be like prepping the notes, we still like to banter, obviously, and discuss each of our viewpoints. And I think that is, you know, one of the pulls of our podcast. And with you having that background in Christianity, I'm going to be very interested to see what you think too. And yes, I'm so excited to offer this to, there's just so many more Christian witches that listen than I thought. Yeah, I feel like we can definitely feel like quite the minority. And it's been very, I don't know, it's been just amazing. Like, I just didn't know that I've apparently, we've built like this kind of safe space, offered this place for Christian witches to feel at home at, because it is very, you know, it is, it's tricky to step into the witchy world and reconcile also being Christian. And so I understand that, and we will go over it in our next witchy episode.
I'm so excited for it. Me too. Like I said earlier too, you know, like I don't want to put out an episode, like I don't want to do notes on an episode that I feel biased on, or maybe I don't have enough information that I can't speak to. And this was definitely one where I was like, I can't do this. I'm not the one.
Yes. Yeah.
To do any of it. So I'm really excited. Especially because I know that feeling of when you feel a certain way about your identity and you find an outlet for it, or you find someone else that you can share it with. And I know so many people are going to be so happy to feel seen and to be validated and know that, you know, this is an example of what it looks like and that it's not an oxymoron. it's a valid practice. And I think too, it kind of also veers our Types of Witches series in a slightly different direction. Obviously we've gone over, you know, some popular types of witches, but I think we can't forget that there are religious type of witches. I've said it so many times, I want to get Jew Witch on here so bad.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. So
she would be great, because I think that in itself, you know, to go over what that's like to be Jewish and a witch, to go over just what it's like to be Jewish in general, especially in a witchy community where paganism is so big. And there's obviously, as we've covered earlier, white supremacy within Norse paganism that definitely is going to affect someone who's Jewish. So I definitely wouldn't. I'd like to branch into that at some point, too. And hey, maybe now that I'm self-realized, we'll also cover satanic witches at some point.
Oh, that would be great. Not? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's always like this Frida Kahlo quote that I kind of think of like when I came into the witchy world and felt alone, or felt like maybe I didn't even belong because of being Christian. And now having so many of our listeners who are Christian witches reach out, it always makes me think of the quote, and I looked it up, but it's basically the one where she says, I used to think I was the strangest person in the world, but then I thought there are so many people in the world, there must be someone just like me who feels bizarre and flawed in the same ways I do. I would imagine her and imagine that she must be out there thinking of me too. Well, I hope that if you are out there and read this and know that, yes, it's true, I'm here, and I'm just as strange as you.
I love that.
Oh, it's one of my favorite quotes, like, ever. But, yeah, we like to create a safe space here on this mm-hmm. podcast as much as, you know, we possibly can. And so,
yeah,
I'm very, very excited to offer this to my fellow Christian witches and also for us to continue to cover other types of witches because we all belong at the table. Like, we all should have a seat at the table. And all of our practices and our beliefs are valid. So, anywho, not to get too sappy, but very excited for what's to come. That is our episode. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to follow us on social media, we are at The New Witches pretty much everywhere. Like and subscribe or follow, whatever it is that the platform allows you to do to make sure that you stay.
God, that made us sound like a YouTube video.
I know. Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
Or like, subscribe and follow. Please rate and review for sure if you can on your listening platform. I know that Spotify recently allowed for reviews. Mm-hmm. And that really, really helps us not only to help like our ratings, because those are great too, obviously, to have a good rating. But also, like, your feedback is very important to us. We love constructive criticism. We'd like to know what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. Yeah. You can participate in an upcoming listener stories episode. We do that every 13th of the month. So we have our April one coming up in a little bit. If you'd like to submit a question or story, and it can be anything pertaining to like what we talk about here on the podcast, which witchy, creepy, true crime, paranormal, what have you. You can write it in to our website, thenewwitches.com. You can go to our contact page and we have a submission form there. You can also email it in directly to us at thenewwitches@gmail.com. And lastly, you can call it in and leave a voicemail, which is really cool because then we feature your voice on the podcast. You do have up to 3 minutes to leave your message, and it goes straight to voicemail. You don't have to talk to anybody. So if you're interested in submitting your question or story that way, the phone number is 707-559-8111. And lastly, we mentioned Patreon in the beginning of this episode. If you are interested in becoming a patron of the podcast, which we would be so appreciative of, you can go to patreon.com/thenewwitches. As a patron, we grant you exclusive benefits like our monthly bonus episode, our Cauldron Side Chats. Laura also posts her creepy stories, other like special seasonal goodies, and we add you to our close friends list on Instagram, and you get access to our private Facebook group for you to connect with other listeners of the podcast. And we have a light presence there too, so you could connect with us there, but we try to kind of have it be a space for our listeners to connect with each other. But that is totally there. Some of the membership tiers even involve readings with Laura, so definitely check that out. Again, that's patreon.com/thenewwitches. That is our show. Thank you so much, and stay witchy.
Keep it creepy.
Bye.
Bye.